action. Hey there, movie kings and queens. Welcome to episode 52 of the Real Game Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and here with the second piece to this podcast, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
You can see my second piece?
See all your bits and pieces, God, Ryan.
I thought I zipped after the bathroom.
I apologize. Hey, don't.
Fine, I retract my apology. You're welcome.
Anyway, how you doing, Ryan?
Oh, I'm just great.
Sorry.
You just touched my microphone.
I had to adjust
without consent.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
You were drooping a little too much there.
Oh, well, you know. You got to keep me excited if you want to stop the droopage.
Well, then let's get excited.
Let's do it.
So this week we are talking about Lego Movie 2. But before we get started, Disney's got a whole lot of movies coming out this year.
They do. I feel like almost every potential blockbuster coming out this year has Disney attached to it in some way, shape, or form.
Some substitute of Disney is putting out a movie just about every month.
What was that word?
Subsidiary. There we go.
A subtitty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so why don't we go through what's coming out here and see what we think?
Yeah, so we'll go through chronologically what movies Disney is releasing and kind of giving our quick takes on them, right?
Yeah. Now, of course, some of these, because we've already done our most anticipated for the first half of the year, some of these may have shown up on that list.
Yeah, so we're not going to dive too deep.
Right. And some of these may show up in our second half of the year thing, so... Yeah,
this I don't know. Is just I don't think be... there's anything exciting coming out in the second half of the year, is there?
Not a damn thing. No.
Definitely nothing you're looking forward
nothing
to.
Nothing that I'm looking forward to, yeah. So the first one is going to be on March 8th, Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And I believe that was on your list, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that... Obviously, at the end of the post-credit scene in Infinity War last year, the character was teased.
Right.
And I'm really excited to see what all the fuss was about, being someone who does not really know this character from anything. Because apparently she's a really powerful character who's going to help tie all this up in the Marvel Universe in Endgame. But I've kind of only halfway ever heard of her, so I'm very interested to see what her deal is.
The thing is too is that it's exciting that Marvel is still this far in the game, still putting out new characters for us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so moving on then to still in March 29th, Dumbo. And
what'd you call me?
So Dumbo. I think this was one that I had mentioned, and I think we talked a little bit about, what's his name? The director, Tim Burton. Thank you. And how I still kind of look forward to Tim Burton movies coming out. You're not so keen on his newer things.
No. I mean, the cast is a great cast. And that's really it for me. I don't have a lot of faith in Tim Burton as a director anymore, especially because when he has kind of revisited some movies that we may remember from our childhood. So Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Alice in Wonderland, they just haven't been as strong. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. We shall see. But I'm not super excited about this one, which means if it is good, it'll be quite a pleasant surprise.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, from what I've seen in the trailer so far, the visuals look really amazing too.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if nothing else. I don't think it'll be a boring movie. At least I hope not.
Well, speaking of a movie that is going to be visually exciting,
they're going to say boring.
April 26th gives us Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
Obviously, I think the whole world is excited about this one.
Well, yeah.
And so...
And the promotional materials have been really strong.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been... They've done a really good job of showing you a little bit, but not too much.
Right. Like, I they've only had, like, one, like, true trailer and maybe a couple TV spots, I think.
Yeah, the one trailer, and then I think the other really big thing was the Super Bowl ad that came out.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we all know that Captain Marvel is going to wind up in that movie, but they haven't shown anything to show that that's going to happen.
Yeah, the only kind of spoilery thing they've shown, but haven't really gotten around to showing how it happens, is that Ant-Man, it appears, gets out of the quantum realm pretty early. And my prediction is, I think that that may even happen at the end of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Like, that may be part of the post-credit scene.
Yeah, I mean, hell, if he went into it in the post-credit scene, why couldn't he come out in a post-credit
scene?
Right,
so, because what I've heard is that everything that we see in the trailer, for the most part, happens pretty early in the movie.
Yeah.
So, that could be something that, and maybe that's part of why they've shown all him and all the promotional materials, is they want to just get that out of the way, and it's going to get out of the way pretty early in the movie, too. We'll see. But yeah. So I'm excited.
Me too. So that's it for April. Then May 24th.
It's going to be May.
Aladdin.
Yes.
The live action Aladdin.
Yes.
I'm on the fence on this one.
Yeah, same.
I mean, it has the potential to be a train wreck.
Yes. I think the downside of that one probably has the biggest downside of any Disney movie coming out this year.
Well, yeah, I mean,
as far as like how bad it can be.
Right.
I don't even think, as much as I'm probably looking forward to Aladdin more than Dumbo,
mm-hmm.
but I think Dumbo at worst will be
okay.
I don't want to say okay. It could be bad, but I don't think it's going to be like a disaster bad. I could see Aladdin being like worst of the year bad, whereas I see Dumbo being kind of like that middling, mediocre, like,
yeah,
oh, they just shouldn't have done that. Whereas I can see Aladdin being like, damn, like, get rid of, why did you do this? You know what I mean?
I mean, and you know, it's hard to replace somebody like Robin Williams.
Well, yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. When I had initially heard that Will Smith was going to be doing the role of the genie, like, I see it. It fits, but still, Will Smith is not 100% guarantee that anything's going to be good. I mean,
if it were 1999 instead of 2019, then sure. But it's a little too late for that.
But you know, so yeah, fingers crossed that it's good.
Yes.
Another one that I'm a little worried about. June 21st, Toy Story 4.
Oh, I'm not worried at all. They've nailed this every time they've done one of these.
I know, but
I think the fact that they give it so much time between them probably helps them cultivate a good story.
So I think part of my problem is that so far I don't feel like any of the promotional material has really given a really good idea of what the story is going to be. And it seems like it's going to take some place in like a fair or a theme park or something like that. But I haven't really caught on to what I've seen so far.
Well, yeah. But with that, because we don't have a lot of information about this movie, I'm going to default to what I think of the first three, because it's so many, mostly the same people who are behind this one, and they've knocked out of the park every time. So until they give me a reason to doubt them, I'm going to believe in them. Now, if they release a trailer and it's revealed that Eminem sings the theme song for the movie, then yes, I will start to have some doubts.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Eminem,
Don't ever start anything with that phrase.
He sang the song for Venom, who is part of the Spider-Man universe. And the next movie is Spider-Man Far
Look
From Home.
It's you with your transitions. Okay, I see what you did there.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
So July 5th.
Okay.
4th of July weekend, we get a new Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
This is one that I am really looking forward to.
Well, yeah. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm curious then to find out after Avengers, finding out then if this movie takes place after that or before it, before Avengers.
Right.
There's all kinds of theories as to how it could take place one time period or the other, but I'm looking forward to that reveal.
I think the bigger question is, so it's very noticeable that Tony Stark isn't present in any of the promotional materials.
Right.
So the question seems to be more like, does this happen after and is Tony Stark still alive?
That's a very good question, because they did show Happy.
Right.
So who knows?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Ooh.
We'll see. We'll see. So that's my speculation.
Yeah. We've got another live action remake of an animated movie next. July 19th is The Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot more faith in this one than I do in Aladdin.
Yes.
It's Jon Favreau. You know, he did The Jungle Book. That turned out great. I know you didn't particularly love the trailer, did you?
No, I thought it was great.
Oh, that's right. You did love the trailer, but there was something about it that, you're just hoping that they do more than a beat for beat.
Yes.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So far, everything we've seen has been very much, this is the exact same movie, but much more visually stunning. I need this movie to be different enough. But my prediction is, again, I have a lot of faith in Jon Favreau. I think that Disney knows that this movie is going to be great because they have really drummed up the excitement for it. Whereas I feel like they know something about Aladdin.
Right.
That we don't. That it's not
coming out
be...
before The Lion King.
Well, not only that, but
we're not hearing much about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely not much positive. So I feel like Disney knows they have what might be a really special movie in The Lion King. And not only that, I think this movie might be one of the highest grossing movies of all time. And may even be, if it's good enough, we may even be talking like, whereas Black Panther was the surprise Oscar movie this year, Lion King may be the surprise Oscar movie next year. I think if it's done as well as I think it might be.
I mean, it'll certainly sweep up all kinds of effects awards.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, hopefully. It's still so funny to me, though, that like this is considered a live action movie when it's completely animated.
Yeah.
But it's just realistic animation.
Right.
So the next one, August 9th, Artemis Fowl. I don't know anything really about this other than it's based on a book.
I'm already out.
I'm already.
We saw last year that Disney can't handle adapting old ass books that no one likes.
So that's exactly my point, is that I'm
you don't know what we're referring to. It's A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah. And I'm totally getting A Wrinkle in Time vibes from this movie.
Oh, boy.
Even from like what little clips and stuff.
I haven't looked at anything.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this movie.
It has that same vibe to me. So I do not have high hopes for that.
High hopes.
It's good.
Nope.
I have a feeling, though, it's not going to be one that we necessarily review. So, I mean,
we'll
see.
We'll probably review it, but we might. When is it coming out?
August 9th.
Yeah, that's kind of like that tail end of the summer movie season.
Yeah, the way that
a lot of like bad stuff has gotten dumped the last few years.
Well, it's because they're starting the summer blockbuster season so early.
So they
now
run out of good shit
exactly
by August. Yeah. So that alone, I don't know.
It cries foul to me.
Shut up. Move on.
The next one doesn't hit until November. So November 22nd,
they're taking such a long break.
Yeah.
From dominating everything. Well, they gotta wait for Artemis Fowl to stop being number one at the box office. Oh,
exactly.
You know, it's gonna dominate the conversation.
How
for
did
months.
I not think yeah. of that? Yeah. Yeah. But Frozen 2.
On my birthday.
November 22nd, that's your birthday?
Thanks, Mike. Good friend.
Do you remember my birthday?
No.
See?
I couldn't even tell you the month.
Okay.
Or season.
Love you too, buddy.
Yeah.
So Frozen 2.
What if today was your birthday and I just did that? Oh, what an ass I would have been.
Well, it was yesterday.
Okay, my gift's in the mail.
This is another one where, like, I feel like this might be a little
bad?
Too late.
Bad?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big fan or detractor from the first Frozen. I think it was fine, but maybe a little after my time. It's not a property. I know, like, kids are fucking crazy about
right.
it. And not just kids, a lot of adults I know. But I haven't connected with it that much. I'll see it, but, like, we'll see.
I really liked the first one. It didn't connect with me the same that, like, as you were saying, like, there are some people who are just like, think that that's the greatest Disney movie ever made. But I did really enjoy it. The thing is, though, is that, like, I felt like it was a relatively contained story. It doesn't need to have a sequel.
Right.
The little Olaf thing that they did in front of Coco, I did not like.
Yeah, I didn't like, they had this little Christmas short last year in front of, I forget what movie.
Coco.
No, Coco was 2 years ago. This was like this Christmas.
Okay.
What Disney movie? Wreck-It Ralph. I believe it came out before Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh.
It was so bad. I did not enjoy it. Maybe it didn't come out when you saw it, but it was in front of my Wreck-It Ralph or Ralph Breaks the Internet or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't like it. I honestly, like...
Then that's 0-2 on their little...
Yeah, I'll say this. This is some shade I'm going to throw. Frozen is a good song. Like,
Let
good,
It Go?
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, it's a good song that then had a movie around it. And if this song or if this movie doesn't have a good, like, iconic song like Let It Go in it,
yeah,
is it going to be seen as, like, a huge disappointment?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if they're still doing any of those, like, direct to home video sequels and stuff, but, like,
Disney's not known for making great sequels.
That's the thing. It's like all of those Little Mermaid ones, they were fine direct to video or whatever, and it doesn't detract from my love of the Little Mermaid, you know what I mean, because I never watched those other ones. I didn't feel the need to,
right?
But, like, when it's coming out in the theater, I feel like I need to see it, and if it feels like one of those direct to home video type sequels, I'm going to be really let down.
Right.
But,
yeah, those direct to, like, VHS sequels that Disney used to do in the 90s felt like the most professional form of fan fiction you could have.
Right. Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, Aladdin had a couple, which the genie,
the Return of Jafar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the genie was voiced by somebody else in the second one, but then Robin Williams did come back for, like, the third one.
Wow.
But
he needs some money.
Yeah, maybe at that point, who knows? Maybe. So there's one left.
Oh, there is. I didn't think of anything that it could have been.
Star Wars Episode 9.
Haven't heard of it.
December 20th. So merry fucking Christmas to me.
Yeah.
I tell you. And you too. I know that you like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It comes across.
Leave me out of the holiday season.
No, listen,
I just got a new Star Wars t-shirt the other day. I was going to wear it, but it's too fucking cold. I can't
Star
wait to
Wars
wear it.
Star Wars is completely different.
I appreciate you hawking my website for people, starhorse.edu, because it is fully educational.
Sure.
But no, I got a new Star Wars t-shirt the other day. I can't wait to wear it for you. It's going to make you very jealous.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we still don't have a title for it.
Should be coming soon.
But it should be coming soon. I'm fully anticipating getting the trailer when I'm out at Celebration in April. So, woohoo!
Yeah, we haven't seen too much of too much from this one, but I think the fact that JJ is directing it, JJ Abrams, who directed episode 7, I think that's a really good sign. I just have a lot of faith that they're going to nail this.
Right. Although JJ's not really known for ending storylines.
I know. He's like a bad top. He just doesn't know how to finish correctly.
So hopefully there's always that first time.
I'm very excited for it. I just don't know much about it
right
yet.
I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's January.
Yeah.
No, it's February now.
Right.
Oh my gosh, the time flies.
I know.
It's April now. I don't know. It's February.
Happy spring,
everybody. We still have about 10 months to go.
Yeah.
So there's going to be lots of things to build that anticipation. But Mike, if you had to rank your top three most anticipated Disney films coming out this year, what would they be?
Okay. Easy. Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
Number one. Avengers Endgame. Number two. And then I would probably say Lion King. Number three.
Yeah, I think those are my same three, maybe even in that order. Disney right now is putting out, it has basically four branches of blockbusters that it has. It has Star Wars, it has Marvel, it has Pixar and their other animated movies, and then it has these live action remakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's really building its blockbusters on that kind of foundation. So I think those three, and then Toy Story 4 would be the one really holding up the like animation pillar, are the big
right.
ones that they're really banking on. Like
yep.
those have to be big time successes, and probably will be. I bet those will be the four highest grossing movies of the year. I wouldn't be shocked if they were.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. While we're still on the Disney subject.
Yeah.
This is kind of exciting. Today, in the mail, I got my tickets to see Nina West play Ursula.
Yeah.
In The Little Mermaid.
Got to see her while she's still
accessible.
Yeah, performing in Columbus while she's still contractually obligated to do things did before she got booked on Drag Race. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, that's really cool. Yeah. When are you going?
So it's that Friday night. So the opening night of it, because it's Friday, Saturday, nice. And Sunday.
Sweet.
So Pete and I are taking my daughter.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
Yeah.
I wish you'd stop calling me your daughter, but other than that, it's great. I'll wear the wig. It's fine.
Sure. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just
some of you may not have known just how much our corporate overlord was planning on being a part of our lives this year. So now you do, and you can be excited about it or fear it.
So the Disney Fox merger is just about done. Do you think Disney is becoming a monopoly? Are they becoming an entertainment monopoly?
Oh, absolutely. But I feel like we have a lot of entertainment monopolies forming. I think Netflix is in its own way kind of becoming one.
But like Disney is part owner, is like majority owner of Hulu. So like,
sure.
Like they've got their hands in everything, and they're having their own streaming service.
Yeah, but you know what, they're fine. I mean, if it would be one thing if they were making shitty movies,
right really, as long as the content
ruining,
is still...
Yeah, if they were ruining all these things I loved, I would be much more upset with it. But they keep taking things and turning them great, so
yeah,
if that's what a monopoly is, then you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. So this week's movie is The Lego Movie 2, the second part. Not Electric Boogaloo, as...
Damn it.
As previously thought. So, it's been 5 years since Everything Was Awesome, and the citizens are facing a huge new threat. Lego Duplo invaders from outer space, wrecking everything faster than they can rebuild. This is a direct sequel to The Lego Movie, but it's directed by Mike Mitchell, not actually directed by Lord and Miller.
But they did write it.
But they did write it, yes. and produce it. So it still feels very much part of their world.
I wish you wouldn't sing.
Oh, I feel... Oh, anyway.
you should. That's how that comment was meant to come across. I'm so hateful. It's one of my better qualities.
I've come to appreciate it. So Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett all return. And this time around, a new character is voiced by Tiffany Haddish.
Mm-hmm.
So she joins the crew.
She does. She doesn't get ready. She stays ready. She's great.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you had a little bit of a trying time getting to go see this.
And this is just part of it for me. Like, I really liked the first one. I really liked the Batman Lego movie.
Uh-huh.
But like, there's just something about this franchise that's like, as good as it's been. And by the way, I don't even acknowledge the Lego Ninjago.
Oh, Ninjago.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
But there's just something about it. It's just, it's good, but I feel like this franchise is just a little too skewed for me on the like appealing to children side of things.
Yes.
I'll
agree with
that. It's a little too far that way. And so I feel when I go to see these movies, like, it's not quite for me. It's good, and I can fully acknowledge, and I really liked this one, but like, it's just not quite for me, especially coming right out of Oscar season and everything being so dramatic and
yeah.
For the most part, and adults that I've seen over the last couple months to go into this. I'm just like, I wasn't super excited for it.
I mean, animated movies that are obviously meant just for kids have their place, you know? But even the good ones, like you'll find references in like the Despicable Me movies and stuff like that, that are little things that are kind of thrown in there that, you know, are just meant for adults to appreciate.
Right.
And I'm not sure I felt that in this movie, but it could have just been over my head. Who knows?
No, I feel like these are very much like they want the kids to love this.
Yeah.
And it's very much geared towards the kids. And if adults like it, then great. And I did. Like, I'm not saying I didn't, but I felt like I was watching a kids movie.
But let's be fair, too. They want kids to come out of this movie and want to go buy Legos.
Yes.
And it's a 90-minute commercial for Legos.
That was literally my shadiest take.
Ironically, my shadiest take is that I'm not sure that they should continue this franchise. So
yeah.
we've kind of already covered our shadiest takes.
Yeah.
But like, I liked, okay, so here's the thing. I really enjoyed the first one because I think that it was fresh. It was different, you know, yeah. And it shouldn't have worked.
Right. It had that Lord and Miller magic that
right.
They make properties that should be terrible. Fantastic.
I didn't care so much for the Lego Batman one. I know that a lot of people really liked it. There were some people saying that they thought that was like their favorite Batman movie. I didn't understand that. But this one, it was, I had fun with it. It was fun. It was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was nothing about this movie that screamed, oh, please make another one.
Right.
So like, I won't be disappointed if this franchise ends right here.
Same. It won't.
It won't. Absolutely.
But
they'll probably do Lego Batman 2.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. But having said that, it's enjoyable. It's good. If you have young kids.
Right.
Don't. But if you do, it's a great movie to take them to. I wasn't bored. I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Cute songs. Fun.
Yeah.
Enough. I took my daughter, so, you know, she really enjoyed it. There were kids sitting next to me, a couple seats down that were probably 5 or 6, and they were laughing hysterically.
Oh yeah. There were lots of kids in my theater. And yeah, laughing a lot. They laughed a whole lot at this movie.
Right. So it hits the target audience.
And then, you know, no sound grates against my soul more than the sound of child's laughter. So that alone takes this movie down a grade for me.
Sure. I mean, I know you appreciate the sound of children crying in pain.
I enjoy hearing about it.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't actually enjoy hearing it because then I have to...
Then that grates on your nerves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But hearing that a child cried is great.
Yeah.
I love it.
One thing I did appreciate about this movie is that at least... Like, it was a good sequel to the... Like, it didn't feel like it was a rehash or, like...
Sure,
yeah. So I appreciated that about it. I also kind of liked to, like, they continued the thing that they did in the first one where they would mix up words to make it sound like something else. You know, like, in the first one, there was the craggle or whatever.
Yeah.
This one, Armageddon.
And... Sistar system.
Yes. So there is stuff like that that's in here that I at least appreciate.
Some clever wordplay. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. So those are kind of our general thoughts, but do you have any like spoiler kind of things?
I mean, it's hard to spoil a movie like this. It's a kid's movie. It's a cartoon movie. There's not even a lot to really say about it other than it's good. It works. If you like the first one or Lego Batman movie, then yeah, you'll like it. It's good. You should go see it. And if you didn't, then don't, you know, do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do.
it was very successful. Do you want to play our game? What do you think it got on the Rotten Tomatoes?
I've been really bad at this lately.
You've been terrible at it because you always overshoot. You'll be like, this movie was terrible. I bet it only got 89%.
This movie was okay. I'm going to say it got an 80%.
Is that what you're really saying?
Yeah, I'm saying 80%.
I mean, you're not far off. It was 84.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a solid rating.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. I feel like it's a solid, like, B kind of movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Which is, if 84 was a grade, that's what it would be.
Sure.
I know that. I had a lot of those. I'm smart. But no, it's good. I think that's solid. And it was number one this weekend. It made $54 million. It's going to make money.
I could have guessed that it was going to be number one.
Right. So all great things.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think it's going to be one of those middle of the road, like, it was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
Kind of movies for me this year.
It's funny. So the first one, when it didn't get nominated for Best Animated Movie.
Right.
Like that was, huge. I thought that was a surprise.
Yeah.
I definitely thought that they got snubbed. When this one doesn't get nominated, I won't be surprised.
Correct.
Yeah. So I have a couple little spoiler notes that, things that I liked about the movie that I feel like could be spoilers. So, but for one, I like how it picked up literally right at the end of the first one.
Yeah.
And then they kind of do a cut to 5 years later. So
yeah.
I liked that tie in. The Bruce Willis cameos.
Yeah.
The second one wasn't that great, but the first one, when they're when she's crawling through the air duct, and that really was Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
I just thought that might have been something to be considered like a throwing a bone to the adults that are watching the movie. Kids aren't going to understand that reference.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that. Speaking of cameos, though, I kind of wish the RBG cameo had not been in the trailer. Like, that would have been a fun kind of thing to...
I didn't remember it from the trailer.
Oh, really?
No. But I don't remember really seeing a trailer for this at all. Like, I don't...
Okay.
Again, I wasn't really looking forward to this movie, and I don't feel like I saw many, like... Again, a lot of the movies I've been seeing lately...
It was a later trailer. Yeah. It was like maybe the last trailer.
Well, a lot of the movies I've been seeing lately have been, like, very adult movies.
Yeah. So,
So, not movies that you would typically see a trailer for... Lego Movie 2 in front of.
But see, I also, I watch a lot of trailers online too.
Okay.
So it was probably a later trailer, but that would have just been like a fun kind of thing. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't say anything. I don't think, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't actually record a cameo or something for it, but And lastly, I did chuckle quite a bit though with the end credits song being about end credits.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought that was hilarious.
And I really liked, speaking of music, I loved the Everything's Not Awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a good, clever spin on the song, because I know a lot of people for whom that, like, excessive positivity can be very annoying and grating. So having a song about, like, okay, no, but for real, everything's not awesome, but you still got to make the best of things. I thought that was a really cool, nice little spin. I liked that.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of cute too, how at the end of the movie, they made it that her character, what's her name? Elizabeth Banks' character.
Lucy.
I wanted to say Lisa. So that the reason why she hates that song so much is because she's the one that sang it.
Right.
That was cute. I thought that was funny. All right. Anything else, or should we get to our takes?
Yeah. I mean, not a lot else to say about this. It's good. If you like this franchise, go see it. It's great.
That's the thing. Yeah.
If you don't, then you don't need to. You can wait.
It's not earth-shattering or groundbreaking.
Yeah, no, it really isn't. I would wait. There's more exciting stuff coming soon. So
now,
hold off.
Maybe though, if you are somebody who enjoys like animated 3D movies, like maybe seeing it in 3D might be a reason to go see it in the theater.
Maybe.
But that's if you're into that kind of thing. All right, so. Do you have a gayest take for this movie?
I have a gayest take. My gayest take, how fierce was that white Batman suit?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to be that for Halloween. That, like, glittery Elton John.
Sparkly white and silver.
Yeah. Like, yeah, super bedazzled, fabulous Batman from the Sistar system.
The Sistar, yeah.
I loved it. I thought that was great.
That's a good one. I like that. Mine's kind of along the same line, but it was just like, so with all the sparkle and glitter in the Sistar system, it's got to be like a gay paradise there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're actually going to build a section of Disney World that is the Sistar system, and it's going to be just a bunch of gays.
Now, if that they was Lego Movie 3.
Well, there we are. I mean, Disney did announce that they're going to have their first, like, gay pride thing this year. Maybe it's just gonna be this.
Yeah,
maybe that's it.
They also announced that they're gonna have their first like TV character on a kids Disney show actually say the words I'm gay. That's coming soon.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't have approached me about that. That's a little awkward. Like,
you can still,
I don't want to come out on a children's show.
You can still pass as 12.
The judge told me I'm not allowed.
Again. No, he said you're not allowed to come on children. He didn't say anything about being on a show.
His ruling was very broad reaching. It's a wide spectrum.
Yeah. So you're going to throw some shade here?
Sure, I'll throw some shade.
I guess we kind of already went over.
I came up with some other shade, though.
Okay.
That I haven't mentioned. So, as you may know, this movie, as have the previous Lego movies, have featured a lot of DC characters. So we have Batman, Superman, many of the Justice League, all of them voiced by different people than who have voiced them in the DC cinematic universe, except for one.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Jason fucking Momoa. My least favorite. Oh my god, like, has so little to do beyond being Aquaman and tormenting me that he of course had the time to come voice
my man.
Oh god damn it, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when I was watching it and they had the Jason Momoa version of Aquaman, and it was like, oh, Ryan's gonna hate this.
Why? Every other version was an improvement. We go from Henry Cavill to Channing Tatum. Which, I mean, Henry Cavill is gorgeous. So to improve upon that speaks loudly.
Now listen, though, they went from Ryan Reynolds to Jonah Hill.
You don't think that's a hotter choice?
Okay, move on.
No, but I mean, yeah. But I will say, Jason Momoa is just terrible. And I hate that he was in this.
They still managed to make him look dirty.
Right? He looks like a smelly Lego. He does. It's gross.
Apparently, so Colby Smulders, who was in How I Met Your Mother and is in the Avengers movies. She voiced Wonder Woman. Apparently, I guess they had tried to get Gal Gadot, but couldn't get her.
Because she actually does other things. Whereas Jason Momoa is now full-time Aquaman. Like, he actually thinks he is the Aquaman.
Yeah.
And that he's living his life under the sea. It's weird.
Under the sea. Oh, you told me not to sing. Sorry.
Yeah, I wish you would stop.
All right. Well, I don't really have an additional shadiest take, so we'll just move on to Slay. Mine was Chris Pratt. And mainly because he had to voice two different characters that were also the same character.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So he had double duty.
Yeah, I hate when I have double duty.
I know, right?
Mine was similar, but really it was just, again, it's hard to do slays and no mams in these animated movies.
I agree. It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I wish you'd stop doing that. It was Chris Pratt, but specifically just how sexy even his voice is. Like, he doesn't even have to be on the screen, but like, his voice just gives me a little chub going down there. You know what I'm saying?
That's another reason why you need to stop watching him in front of children.
I know. I was politely asked to leave, and I very rudely declined. I told them, I have to stay for the podcast.
I'm doing fucking review, man.
I made some fake credentials and everything.
Yeah.
It's for work, god damn it.
Yeah, but like you said, I mean, with the animated movies, sometimes it can be tough. I mean,
it is.
You got to kind of just find something. But so
Chris Pratt's lovely voice still got me through. Ah, wonderful.
Yeah. Well, so no, ma'am. I said Will Ferrell.
Because he was too good to actually show his fucking face.
Yeah. So the dad off screen, I'm doing the air quotes, the dad off screen yelling from other, it felt out of place to me. I didn't like it.
It felt very like, yeah, it felt very like he couldn't be there, but still.
Right. Like he worked just fine for those couple little scenes that President Business was back in there because you saw the character that was speaking. But it's like he came in to record those lines and they said, hey, why don't you just like,
do you mind
recording these lines and we'll just throw you in there?
Yeah.
Like I liked Maya Rudolph as the mom. I would have liked to have actually seen them together.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Sure. Who was your no ma'am?
Maya Rudolph.
I knew it.
I'm usually a huge fan of hers, truthfully, but I feel like she just, like, you know how sometimes you put a really great person in a children's movie and they just over act the like stupidity of being in a children's movie as if they are above it.
Right.
She definitely does that in this one. Like when she steps on the Legos.
Yes.
Shit like that. I'm just I eye rolled a little bit. Like, you're better than this, Maya. Even Will Ferrell knew he was better than this. That's why he refused to show his face there.
Yeah.
She's too good for that role. So, but she does, every time she does a role, she makes the most of it. And she did with this, but to its detriment, I feel like.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it. So.
So, Ryan, you say that a drag queen can fit into every movie.
Sure can.
Were you able to find a place for a drag queen in this movie?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, so the little star and heart missiles.
Uh-huh.
They were voiced like by little babies, I guess. Just I love you kind of.
Right.
I think it would have been funnier and could have had that appeal to a more adult community if it had been drag queens, like little heart shooting up, just saying, ooh, girl, you're in trouble now. Like, or just little things like that. I think that would have been a fun little thing to have in there.
Yeah.
I think that could have fit nicely.
Sure. Not necessarily seeing a drag queen, but hearing and just, if you're in the know, you know, you can tell that.
Yeah, I know a few drag queens, so I'd rather hear than see.
Nobody here in Columbus, though.
I'm not going to name names.
Okay. So picture this with me, with mine, okay?
Okay.
So after there's wherever it was that they were coming from, Tin Man walks out, and then Ruth Bader Ginsburg walks out. What if then a Lego RuPaul walked out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I thought that could have been an interesting little cameo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she walks out and goes, "Work, cover girl."
That's the only lyric from any RuPaul song that Mike knows. Don't show off. Don't say other ones. You have sang enough for not just this episode, but the entirety of this series. Stop it, you bad man.
I am cut off.
Yes.
All right. Let's rate it.
Let's rate it.
Okay.
Me first or you first?
I'll go first.
Greedy.
Fine, you go first.
No, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
I gave it 2.5 reels.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Did you think it would be higher?
Yeah. You usually save 2.5 reels for like your least favorite movies of the year.
Well, I mean, 2.5.
Yeah, reel out of this one.
To me.
You know, you've given 3 out of the 4 movies we've reviewed this year 2.5. I think you're just defaulting to that rating.
Wait a minute. No, based on my own, that's wrong. It should be a 3. Because I was thinking it's a B. And I think I said 3.
See, here's your problem. You're trying to do all this, these math and equations and algebra and shit to figure out your rating.
But it's true. In my head, I thought, okay, it's.
I thought it was this. It's solve for B.
It's a B. But so, yeah, a 3 is a B. 3.5 is a B plus. 4 is an A. So, yes, I'm sorry. You were right. I meant to give it a higher rating. It's a 3.
Girl. Was you a math major?
I told you my head's been in all kinds of weird places this
week. Yeah, I wish you'd get your head off of my weird place. That's for those of you wondering, that's what that weird echo is this week.
Ryan, what's your rating?
I also gave it a 3.
Okay.
Again, it's a very solid middle-of-the-road movie. Might even be the most verse movie of the year. You never know. It's very, very well could be. I see it being kind of in that mishmash of like my middle tier movies of the year when all is said and done. And that's fine. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to make a movie like that, you might as well release it in February.
This is a good February movie.
Yes, it's a good there's nothing else out so we'll put this out kind of movie.
Yeah, it's one of those where then, you know, compared to other things that are coming out, then it makes this stand out more,
right?
So yeah,
I think that's the perfect sound for this movie. Yeah, it exists. That's fine.
So next week we're going to talk about Alita Battle Angel. That movie was supposed to have been out like sometime last year, I think. So it's going to be interesting to see then like all the extra time that they took on this movie. Was it worth it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think this, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, James Cameron does a lot of good, but.
Yeah, but then when you release a movie in February, we just talked about this. When you release a movie in February, it's usually not a good sign, especially if you spent $200 million to make it.
Yeah.
That's not, you don't make a $200 million movie and go, we got to put this in the middle of February.
On paper, James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez working together sounds like it should work, but we'll find out. All right, everybody. Well, if you haven't already, become a real friend and follow us on Twitter @RealGay and Instagram @RealGayMovieShow. Like our Facebook page And wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. You can also send us questions or comments to realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. So that is it for this week. Have a real...